Today on the Word of Truth Revealed,
Elijah is about to be taken up. God tells him, anoint a certain man king, but I want you to take the young man that's over there. His name is Elisha, and I want you to anoint him to take your place. He's going to replace you.
Bishop Clark says a process leader is a person that guides, supports, nurtures, and facilitates others.
That's what's next. You will be replaced. I'm going to take you and elevate you up. I'm going to send a chariot of fire in the earth and elevate you out of here. But I want you to anoint this one, and he's going to take your place.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, Bishop Clark goes deeper in teaching us his concept of the next, which is an acronym meaning new experiences, X factor, and timing. Grab your Bibles and let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16, as Bishop Clark begins the message, The Power of a Processed Servant.
I'm excited, really excited about this series. What I believe God is saying and doing in our lives and what he's about to do. I want you to start thinking about on this wonderful day. I want you to start thinking about what's next in your life. A lot of times we focus because of our broken society and our broken soul. We tend to remember the things that are negative that has happened in our lives. You have five chambers in your soul. You have your will, you have your emotions, your imagination, you have your intellect, and you have memories. And recall is really activating your memories. And usually what surfaces in the memories are the negative things that happen, and they become triggers to anything that you come in contact with next, because the negative things that happen in the memories always remind you of something that happened in the past. But God is renewing our minds, and he's building us up. He's turning us inside out, and he's renewing us from the inside out. And what he wants to do is for us to start anticipating a better day, to have good mental health, be not conformed to this world, the scripture says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul or your mind. David picked it up in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I eat well. He lead me beside still waters. I drink well. But he also restores my mind, my soul. And God wants us to have good mental health. The next time someone laughs, stop saying, why are you laughing at me? There are people who do that. You're like, it's not funny. Well, what are you talking about? They're not laughing at you. But your broken soul reminds you of someone that laughed at you years ago. And when you see someone laughing, you automatically think they're picking at you. God wants you to be healed from the inside out so you don't have these triggers, that fire in your soul. You can live in peace. And peace means nothing missing, nothing scattered, and nothing broken. And so when I speak peace, or when the Holy Spirit is releasing peace in your life, he's saying that God wants that which is missing to be found, that which is scattered to be rearranged, and that which is broken to be fixed. Especially in your memories. So we can start thinking about what's next. For this ministry, there's a next. For this community, there's a next. For this city, there's a next. For this region, there's a next. For the state of Florida, there's a next. For the United States, there's a next day. After Trump and after Biden. And so what we have to do is start looking to the next thing that God has. Even the world says, on to the next one, on to the next one. There are people who are looking for their next girl, their next thrill, their next joint, their next drink, their next thrill. What are you looking for next? Are you dreaming about a better day, a day that you will be able to move, live, and have your being in the Lord, to be more efficient, effective, and excellent in how you function and flow, to be more effective in how you move, to be more efficient? In other words, you can do a better job and it don't cost as much. An efficient AC unit can blow out cold air and the bill will still be down. In other words, you should be able to change the climate. Some of us are just thermostats, and some of us are thermometers. You want to be a thermostat. You want to be able to change the climate, and we don't have to spend a lot of money. You can come in a room and cool it now. You want to come in the room and cool it now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You want to cool it now, Nuwadi. Cool it now. Ooh, watch out. You're going to lose control. Slow it down. Slow it down. You got to slow things down, cool it down, because you're not a thermometer. You're a thermostat. I want to be an air traffic control. I want to move beyond just changing the climate. I want to be able to get up into the skies, to get off the ground, to elevate to another dimension. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, the Bible says that John, as he's on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord is taking him into a dynamic revelation, and we're living those things out now. You need to read the fourth chapter. He says he heard a sound in heaven. He heard as it were a trumpet. Bump. That's how it sounded to him. And he heard a voice saying, come up here, and I will show you next. I will show you the things that are on their way. And God is calling us right now to another place. To another place so we can begin to see. He wants to set us free from bottom floor stuff. All of the noise on the first floor. Climb the staircase and get to the upper room so you can look out over the expanse and see what's next. Hopefully it's whetting your appetite, because God wants his people to sit on the seat of expectancy, not the seat of stagnation, but the seat of expectancy to begin to believe and to trust him for something beautiful to happen in your life. Can the church say amen? Glory to God. I had a vision that was very unique. I had this vision that I was on my way to to get into a car, but the car was very anxious, and I barely got my bags in the car, and as soon as I shut the door, the driver took off. And he took off, I mean, running. He was racing, actually. He was speeding and going through traffic. And then he got me to a bus station. And as soon as I got my bags off, he took off. And I was able to get to the bus. As soon as I got my bags on the bus and the door slammed, whoom, here the bus takes off. Wow. It's like, whoa, I'm still trying to sit down, catching up. But the bus driver's just driving. It's like, whoa. And he's moving through traffic. And he's keep riding, right? Next thing you know, he takes me to a train. And as soon as I get my bags off and I get to the train, as soon as I squeeze on and the door shut, the train, wow, takes off. A bullet train. And I'm riding on this train, holding on to the rails. It's like, whoa. Where are we going? What's happening? I'm holding on to the rails. I'm losing my balance. And then all of a sudden, the train comes to an airport. And when we get there, I get my bags off the train. And I barely am able to get running and get to the airport, get to the airplane. And as soon as I get my bags in and get on, the door shuts and they take off. Not just running down. It takes off. It's like it lifts, almost like an elevator. I'm sorry, like a helicopter. It doesn't just run down a runway and picks up momentum. It just whoom and takes off into the skies. And I'm like, what's going on with this? And God just really began to unfold that in my life. And I want you to start thinking about this. Some of us are still moving as if God is a car that we need to get in to get to the next level. Actually, he's trying to get you to something that elevates. He's trying to get you to aerodynamics, and you still driving cars. You still driving cars. I'm talking about Model Ts. Right? Everybody want new technology, right? But don't want new medicines. Right? Give you my eyes. If I say I'm not going to give you an iPhone, right? I'm not giving you an iPhone. You can't trust it. They say, what? No, you can't trust. You can't handle that. I don't trust it because it was made too fast. The same people now that don't want to get a vaccination, right? Take an iPhone. Oh, I like the technology, right? Everything has picked up in the world. You try to give them a box TV, they'll throw it away. They want flat screens on the wall, and they want all the channels. That's new technology. Are you all listening, right?
Well, everything is, even medicine, you don't, surgeries are not like they used to. People are not cutting folk wide open now. They got laser now. They got machines that are working. Things are happening, and the recovery time is different. But you want all of that, right? You don't want no long line cutting you from the top all the way to the bottom. You want somebody that can know what they're doing. Just a little slit here, and we can pull it. Even a hysterectomy, it's a little slit right now. They don't have to open you all the way up like they used to. But can't trust now. Say, oh, this was made. This, a black female was working on COVID-19 for 10 years. All they had to do is add a few things to it to make sure the remedy was there. But you're not looking at all of that. You're listening to the conspiracy. Everything is picking up. And if you're that afraid, put down the phone. It may be 5G and something's coming out of it to mess up your mind and all this other conspiracy stuff. Whatever it is, let me tell you, I'm going to use it to push the gospel. We're on the internet now. I'm going to use it to push the gospel. Whatever it is, it won't let me hold my peace. Because I'm looking for the next one. And if you learn to work with God, get on the bus, get on the train, get to the airport so you can fly and start worrying about, I don't like the way they moved. And they didn't speak to me when I got in the car. And let all of that go, because God has a Kairos and a Chronos that you need to get with. He has chronological time and he has his timing. And if you're going to get with his timing, you got to learn to get in the car when he calls you, and the car's going to take you to the bus. And when you get on the bus, you better squeeze now and get to the train. If you start waving at everybody and having dialogue, you're going to miss this next trip, because the train is taking you to the airport so you can get lift off and get where God wants you to be. While I'm in the car, I'm not falling in love with the car driver. You just to transport me to my next move. And some of you all, when God has you doing certain things, you're falling in love with everybody you meet, when all you're supposed to do is transport. You don't fall in love with the taxi driver, with the Uber driver. You pay them and they move on. They're there to make sure you get to your next destination. That's not how we see life. And then many of us are so prophetic, we want to know what God is going to do next. But if I show you everything about next, you won't have any faith for next. And you don't please God because you know what's next. You please God when you have to trust him about what's next. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he will eventually reward those who diligently seek him. But if you know what the reward is, you know how it's going to come, you know what's next all the time, you'll never trust him for it. So next is an acronym. Please write it down. For new, the N is for new. The E is for experiences. Experiences. The X is for X factor. There are variables and things that you will not be able to detect at first glance. And God doesn't want you to know the X factor. That's why I'm so excited. I don't know what's coming, but I know he's with me. Amen. Glory to God. I don't know what next year is going to hold. I didn't know COVID was coming a few years ago, but I just still anticipate God is working things out. I know I had to preach for a year without people being in the sanctuary. Let me tell you something. That's not easy, but I'm a better pastor. And I appreciate your faces better. And I can see lines in them. And I'm telling you, every line represents an experience. I can see them. And I'm more attentive to the lines. And I believe God wants us to love each other more. That's X factor. How does he make me love you? Because he took you out of my life. And you don't know what you love until you're missing it. You see it every day. Some people take me for granted. But if I was gone, they'd be like, man, I miss my bishop. Miss me now. Miss me now. You take me off the scene, you're going to miss me. But you should miss me now. That X factor, God is going to work in that. And then the T is for timing. Kairos and Chronos. And you got to know when you're in chronological time. That's faithful ministry. I'm coming here every week doing what I need to do chronologically. But Kairos is when God steps out of eternity and he starts working things out in his time in your life. Here in the text, it's for Elisha. Elijah is about to be taken up. God tells him, anoint a certain man king. But I want you to take the young man that's over there. His name is Elisha. And I want you to anoint him to take your place. He's going to replace you. That's what's next. You will be replaced. I'm going to take you and elevate you up. I'm going to send a chariot of fire in the earth and elevate you out of here. But I want you to anoint this one and he's going to take your place. He doesn't even know he's going to take your place. He doesn't know he's about to be elevated into master prophet realm. But he's faithful in what he does now. And many people want to see what the next dimension is, but they've never mastered where they are. It is sad memories of lost opportunities. The opportunity shows up, but because we were playing games in the present dimension and not taking advantage over everything that God brought. When I mean taking advantage, I'm not meaning taking advantage over everything, but taking every moment or every opportunity serious to work things out in your life so you can perfect your gift. My job is to perfect the saints for the work of ministry. How does that happen? Through trials and traumas. Sometimes through offense. I got to speak directly to you about something. You should know I love you now, right? But I got to deal with an issue. You're going to get your feelings hurt when you deal with me. But I got to deal. Every parent should hurt the feelings of their children. Listen to what I said. Every parent should hurt the feelings of their children sometime. Your job is not to make sure there's tranquility of spirit and heart. You're supposed to step in that and say, this is what I told you. This is how you need to flow from this day forward. This is how you move. You got to step up in there. Stop just saying, well, I just want to get along. Your name ain't Rodney King. Your name ain't Rodney King after he was beaten by those police. Can't we just all get along? What do you mean, man? They just beat you almost to death. What do you mean all of us get along? We got to deal with these issues, right? And in the family, there are issues. In the church, if you deal with me, there are times where I have to straighten things out. I have to perfect the saints for the work of ministry. And when you look at Ephesians 4, for the perfecting of the saints, the scripture is implying that when we come to the kingdom, we're not all standing straight. Even though we're dressed up on Sunday. But we're contorted. Life has a lot like this, emotionally. And we perfect the saints. This is my job, is to straighten out your limbs. Amen. So you can start functioning fluently. Yes, you come in, you're already suspicious of people. For what you came out of. Even suspicious of me. From what you came out of. Contorted. And what God says is, when you get with this man, what he's going to do is take away the nuances. He's going to start preaching the word, process it. Yes. Take the word for yourself instead of saying they need it. And you need to take it for yourself. And as you take the word for yourself, every RX is straightening something out in you so you can rise up and then straighten out your limbs, your mental health, your physical body, and everything God is doing. So prepare you for the next move. And after a few months, after a few years, you should be fluent in how you flow. Even if they did offend you, you're not going to respond like you used to. You're not going to react like you used to. You'll start responding in a godly way. I'm sure you didn't mean what you said. You did. It was offensive, but I'm sure you didn't mean that. I'm going to overlook that. We're moving in another direction. When you used to say, let me tell you something. Are y'all with me? Glory to God. So next is an acronym for new experiences, the X factor and the timing of God. I'll get into the text and explain some things. They're powerful. A process leader, a leader who is processed. And God is calling all of us to leadership. You may not be running a ministry right now, but you're a leader in the making. There are people in this room that needs to head things. You don't need to be somebody else's go-to. You need to start giving direction to something. You've been in church way too long, sitting on the back of the bus of the church or sitting back there critiquing or saying, this ain't me and this ain't me. Listen, it is you. It is you. This is your season to be activated. And if I got anything to do with it, if God put it on my heart, I'm going to move you to that direction and straighten out your limbs. For the perfecting of the saints, so you can do work of ministry. We're not just trying to get you saved so you can sit for 25, 30 years. God wants you saved so you can be activated into the kingdom. For some of us, the next move is activation. And some people are watching me today. You've been sitting on the backside, sitting there, glory to God. We've passed the Middle Ages. We've passed the new construction or the reconstruction period. We've passed civil rights, and you're still sitting on the back of the bus. Not even perfecting yourself, but want to be a deacon in the church to run the preachers. What are we talking about? Have you developed yourself? We don't have what we call a diaconate at our church. We're going to resurrect that. But what we do have is servant leaders. Servant leaders. Okay? Servant leaders, that means you serve and you lead. You serve first and you lead. And if you're a leader, you need to be competent. You need to be very competent. In other words, I'm growing. I can communicate. I'm going to be able to do some things. This is 21st century leadership. And you got to be able to do that. You need to be confident, not cocky, but confident. Being confident of, not cocky, but be confident. Sometimes we need to downscale it. Some of us need to be pruned. We're a little bit too aggressive, even in our passions and our excitement. You need to be smooth like that and flow like that and do it like that and move like that, because I preach like that. And if I preach like that, you need to be like that and move with me like that and do what you need to do like that. You can still be effective, but do it the right way. A man came to the church, a pastor, and wanted to speak to me, but he was too aggressive. I need to speak to him now. This is urgent, and made the ladies uncomfortable. When he had an opportunity to speak to me, I challenged him on that. So I went off on him, I went ballistic, went nuclear. So what you want to talk to me about? He said, whoa. I said, that's how you approach my staff. So if you're going to come to my door here or talk to my staff, I need you to calm that down. And we both calmed it down. You understand now? You can't handle a man doing you like that, but you do women that way? You better get yourself right before I jack you up. Don't ever come like that. You need to move like me when you deal with my staff. The ladies shouldn't be afraid of preachers. Let me calm down. I'm not angry, y'all. But I'm alpha. I'm alpha. Y'all want alpha? Well, that's what it comes with. Glory to God. We don't sit back and just let you do whatever. What you doing? What you wearing that for? What you wearing that for? Ladies don't want that, right? Can't tell you what to wear. You gonna do whatever. What you wearing that for? You represent me. You don't do that. Embarrassing me. Sit that down. If I'm there, you don't start the conversation with men. If I'm there, if it's ladies, you do the talking. If there's men, you don't step before me and start talking to the men. That's alpha. Let me handle that. Glory, you're going to take over, just do everything. I got that. No, wait a minute. Y'all ready for it? What would you say if there's a bunch of ladies, your man just walk up and just start talking to them while you're there? Yeah, what's up with y'all? Y'all look pretty. Y'all, all y'all fine, yeah. And you standing right there. He don't say nothing to you. So how you gonna take it if you start talking to men when I'm there? You never compliment men while your man's standing there. You don't say nothing to him. That's why we need to be trained. Can somebody say amen? All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's not unusual for people who evade, avoid, for individuals who steer clear of long-term relationships to hear they have commitment issues. Many are trying to work with a phobia, a fear of commitment. Many folks use these phrases casually, but in reality, commitment and the fear of it is often quite complicated or complex. Dedication is a broad term. But it generally comes down to devoting yourself to a process or to something for a long period of time, whether that is a job, a goal, a city, devoting yourself to a ministry, or being committed to a relationship. The asserted effort to build, to construct anything, starts with a pure devotion to engagement. Joshua 24 and 15 says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When you make a commitment to serve the Lord, you save not only yourself, but you preserve your entire family and ultimately your
Thanks for joining us
legacy.
For the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. Now, for your personal copy of today's message from the next series, The Power of a Processed Servant, when you write or email us, use reference number 21101011. That's reference number 21101011. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
Do you know Jesus? That's a powerful question which recognizes that part of life's purpose and the lasting joy we experience in ethics, in morality, had much to do with knowing Jesus. In our pre-mortal life, we were in his mind, in his heart, we were in his presence, and in the presence of God the Father, we're protected, never disconnected. Let's get back to the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Choose Christ today. My friends, if you're unsaved and you would like to know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I repent of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you were buried for me, but you love me enough to be raised from the dead for my justification. Come into my heart, and I will live for you forever. Fill me with your spirit and empower me to do great things in your kingdom. Hallelujah. My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, you're now part of a large family. I need you to connect with us, so send me an email at this address, connect@truthrevealed.org. That is connect@truthrevealed.org. And until next time, may God bless and keep you, is my prayer.
Keep me ever in your will.